Soul to soul, spirit to spirit, blessings. Well, I don't know how your day is going. Mine is has been a little bumpy up until now, but it seems like it's going to be okay. And the reason that it's been a little bumpy is because the computer that I make my talks on just finally died today. It just kicked the bucket. So I scrambled around and found one that I gave the children a couple of years ago. They don't really use it now. They all have laptops, courtesy of the school. And so I stole their computer and brought it up here. Like I said, they don't use it much. And I'm making the talk on their computer. But, of course, I had to install my hard drive, and I had to install the graphics card, and I had to install certain software, and I had to rerun the USB cables and so on and so forth. So it's been a lot of spinning my wheels. Anyway, I did have this talk that's been bugging me to get said, and again, it's from what I have been feeling and seeing in this book, The Art of Spiritual Healing. I'm almost done with it. There's only a couple more chapters. I determined a while back I was going to reread it. And this chapter here is called Spiritual Unfoldment, Not Human Birth or Death. And I'm thinking that this is going to be one of those uncomfortable talks. And you may be mad at me, and that's okay. Sometimes I get mad at God because this stuff is so... I mean, are you kidding me? That's the way I think sometimes. But then after I get over the initial shock and I realize I have work to do, well, then I settle down and say, okay, all right, okay. And this is one of those chapters. It starts out right out with a bang. Joel says, in God's creation, there were no material processes. Now, God's creation is here now, so you might as well put that in the present tense. In God's creation, there are no material processes. Well, then, what am I seeing? Yes, exactly. That's what you have to ask yourself. Well, then, what am I seeing? What am I dealing with? What are my hands dealing with? And my eyes and the rest of my senses, day after day? What am I walking in? Certainly not God's creation. And he says, in our true identity, we are having neither mother nor father. Call no man your father upon the earth. Now, he just got rid of our parents in the way that we've been seeing them. He just dashed to pieces those concepts, those dearly beloved concepts. My mother, my father. I've never had those, so maybe I have a little edge, I don't know. But a lot of people are very, very close to their parents. And this is my mother and my father. But was Jesus Christ close? You remember what he said to his mother? Woman, what have I to do with thee? She seemed to take it in stride, too. She just said to the servants, well, whatever he tells you to do, do it. But what would your mother say if you said that to her? Or if your child said it to you and you're a mother? Woman, what have I to do with thee? Would you have the spiritual sense to say, ah? Or would you, oh my God, he's disowned me, she's disowned me? In our true identity, we have neither mother nor father. Well, there you go. That just wipes that whole thing out, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that there's nothing there. There's something there. but it behooves you to go within and ask Father to reveal to you what he made. What is there? What he is manifest as? What the spiritual creation is? Not these material processes, and not this material mother and material father. You have none, according to Joel. And I think he's telling the truth. No, that's not true. I know he's telling the truth. In our true identity, we have neither mother nor father. In God's creation, there are no material processes. I stand in back of me. And I know all that is happening to this person called me and to this thing called my body. But I am not identified with it. See if you can, in your meditations, slip into the consciousness of I, the awareness of I. Not I as something separate from you. I as your identity. I and the Father are one. I. Stand in that identity, and you will see you are not identified with a body or a person. You have no mother or father, and no material process. Well, that's the very first page of this chapter. And there's meat there, if you are hungry. He says on the next page, one of these days, I shall evolve out of this sense of body into the true form of body, whatever that may be. I'm certain that he's had experiences of it. I know I have. But he's not telling you what it is, because it must come to you as an inner experience. Otherwise, all you're doing is adding more intellectual understanding, and that's about worthless. The letter kills. So further down he says, I am aware that you are a person and you have a body, and in most cases I am aware of your true identity. I can feel the reality of you. Now, do you see the difference? He hasn't read a philosophical book written in the 16th century and said, well, that's interesting. We all have a spiritual body, and so these bodies are concepts, and they're not really the real body. No, he hasn't done that at all. He has taken this so deep into meditation that he has stood in the I identity, the I, and looked out and been aware of your true identity. He stood in it, and he felt the reality of you. Now, this feel... it's quite different than what I thought about it as I stood in front of you. I stood in front of this audience and I thought about their true identity as I was giving my talk. No. No. I'm certain he had a meditation and he felt the true identity of you in the audience before his talk began. Okay, so he's gotten rid of this idea of a mother and a father on earth. No such thing. Something else is there. Now he's going to move in the other direction and take that away as well. Because he says child conceiving and child bearing are only concepts of human belief. Well, there you go. Now he's wiped out our children. Wiped out our parents. Wiped out our children. You have no son. You have no daughter. What is there? Again, you have to go within and ask God to reveal God's creation. God as individual being. What are you? Doesn't this make you want to go within and say, hey, show me. I'm tired of looking at concepts. It does me. I go within and sometimes I wrestle like Jacob. And sometimes I'm not too polite with God. Come on, what's here? Well, he gives you a clue. He says, in reality, there's no childbearing, but in reality, there's God unfolding, disclosing, and revealing itself. Yes, there's God unfolding, disclosing, and revealing itself if you have eyes to see. But if you don't have eyes to see and you just have a brain to think, then you're going to be thinking about these things philosophically, but you're not going to have the discernment or the awareness of it. And so you're still going to experience a mother and a father and a child and a son and a daughter. And you'll be handling these things with your hands, and all the time they're concepts about a real spiritual creation that you're not seeing. Well, he says, why do we see a person develop and grow from infancy to maturity and from maturity to old age? And he tells you, what you are witnessing is the unfolding of your concept, not spiritual being or the Son of God. And so, yes, yes, you see a mother, you see a father made out of matter. Lots of material processes going on here. And if you're judgmental and critical, and you think they're slow and stupid, not quite as bright as your generation, then you've got concepts upon concepts going, wheels within wheels, don't you? Spinning. But you're not seeing the Son of God. You're not seeing spiritual being. You're only standing witnessing your concepts. Just think, you may have lived an entire life in a field of concepts. Seeing concepts, tasting concepts, smelling concepts, hearing concepts, feeling concepts, thinking concepts. These are also called universal beliefs in something other than spiritual being. But it's a nice something. It's a mother. It's a nice something. It's my child. Yes, but it's still something separate from God. And if you enjoy those, that sense of separate self, and you're not willing to give it up, well, then you're not in the place in the that he describes in the New Horizon. Because he says here, there's no attachment to the world, no desire to hold on to it, probably because to a great extent the experience, the first glimpse of reality, does not come until a great measure of our desire for the things of this world has been overcome. At first we cannot speak of it. There's a sense of touch me not. I have not yet ascended. So that's what he's talking about, isn't he? As ascension. Ascension is not some mystical, magical thing where some saint waves a wand and you rise up in the sky by and by. Ascension is ascending out of the world of concepts. And you cannot ascend if you are emotionally attached and you don't want to let go. He tells you, you can't do it until to a great extent you've let go. And that's what he's talking about. The art of spiritual healing, in order to have the healing consciousness, you have to see reality. It's the seeing of reality, one consciousness beholding reality, that makes it appear. It was there before, but it needed a conscious awareness to behold it. Why then do we see a person turning to old age? What we are witnessing are our concepts, not the Son of God. And again, on the next page, God cannot be conceived. God cannot be born. Can you imagine God being born? Don't we... You know, I think in the beginning of our journey, well, in the beginning of my journey, I saw a baby being born, and I thought, well, how wonderful, there's a baby. He's got his mother's eyes and his daddy's nose, and he's inquisitive and bright-eyed and beautiful. A little later, studying truth, trying to practice principles to change the human scene, I would look at that same baby and say, well, there's God manifest. And of course it wasn't. It was still a concept. A little later, I began to have these glimpses he talks about where you could see through the entire material world or realm of concepts into the invisible. Then you could look at that baby and you could see through it. And that's what he says we have to do. He says, all we can inherit is of the Father, Mother, God, the emanation of the one life expressing itself, one life revealing itself, one life demonstrating itself, one life manifesting itself individually. So, and individually and impersonally. So, this is the only parent you have, the Father, Mother, God, manifesting itself where you are. And impersonally. So, it's manifesting where you are, Paul, without a person. It's manifesting where you are, Rebecca, without a person. It's manifesting where you are, Mary, without a person. And it's manifesting where you are, Brian, without a person. So listen, God is manifesting itself where you are, without a person. So not only in this little chapter is he saying that you have no mother, you have no father on earth, there are no material processes, you have no children, God cannot be born, and you have no person. There's only God manifest as. So he's taken it all away. It is true, there is the appearance of a human, he says, but ponder the idea of God, the one life. So he wants you to ponder this. And then, on the next page, now, do you realize what it means to call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven? Call no man on earth your father. You have only one parent. You have no parents on earth. Now, there you go. That's the message today. You have no parents on earth. Now, that's pretty drastic. I mean, how he weaves this in so wonderfully in this chapter that you don't even notice it as you're reading it. You just go on by, la, la, la. And he's taking your entire world of concepts out from under your feet. You have no parents on earth. Each one of you are the Son of God. All right, now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Let's see. I think we heard it so many times we've forgotten. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Because all the world knows is concepts. It doesn't know God aright. Whom to know aright is to find your own eternal identity. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In other words, they said, I can't do this. I love my mother and my father. I love my children. How can you tell me that they're concepts? because God can't be born. God never dies. God cannot be sick. What about these people that you love? Can they be well? Can they be sick? Can they be rich, poor? Can they be happy, sad? Can they be alive or dead? Then you're looking at concepts. Ah, and so Christ is knocking at the door of your consciousness. And you're saying, go away, go away. I want to sleep a little longer. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, those that became willing, as Joel says, to drop these concepts in order to find the reality, to catch a glimpse of reality, well, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And those who discover they were never born, God cannot be born, those that discover that God is manifest right here without a person, those that discover the I, well, now they are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they are born of God. God is the only parent. And the Word now is made flesh and dwells among us. And we behold, as our experience, his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ said, Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world of concepts was. And he was willing to let it go. Step into the invisible right here. So, each one, says Joel, is the Son of God. Yes, each one is. When we accept that we have no parents on earth. When you have pondered the meaning of this lesson until you are convinced of its truth, you will understand how to meet every single appearance of limitation. The five senses may testify to limitation, but I accept only the truth that I and the Father are one. So, how will you meet every appearance of limitation? If you understand this lesson today, you will know forevermore how to meet every appearance of limitation. Do you know? I'm not going to tell you. And you're not going to go look and read this chapter and see if you can figure it out. You either know this or you don't. And if you don't, you need to ponder this lesson until it comes to you. Because if you understand the meaning of this lesson, if you ponder it until you are convinced of its truth, then you will understand how to meet every appearance of limitation. So you write to me. My email is iamwithin@gmail.com. That's the last place anybody looks for God. iamwithin@gmail.com. Now you write to me when you discover, when you finally understand how to meet every appearance of limitation, it means you have pondered this lesson and you got it. And now you know how, forevermore, where to stand. So write me when that comes to you, by pondering, not by thinking and rereading and trying to see what Joel discovered. No. You ponder until it comes to you. That's the only way you can make it your own. And then write me and say, hey, I have discovered. I understand how to meet every appearance of limitation. And if you don't understand how to meet every appearance of limitation, don't write, because I know the difference between intellectual and spiritual understanding. Okay, so on the next page, ponder that. Keep that in front of you, that I and the Father are one. There may be days and weeks and months when limitation persists, but are you going to believe a concept? God is my Father. I am the offspring of God, not of man. Again, you have no earthly parents. The contemplation of the truth that you have no earthly parents, but that the Spirit of God is your creative principle, sets you free from the limitations of humanhood. Now that's something. When you discover that you are not a person, and you have no personal family, no personal parents, no personal children, when you discover that the Spirit of God is your creative principle, and if God is a spirit, so are you, then something will happen within you. So he says, this message in this book is not mine. It comes through me as the instrument. Now, just to remind you again, we're not playing with words here. We're not trying to gain more intellectual understanding. So I want you to hear this. When you discover that you don't have any human parentage, then you can let go and you can rise up above the realm of concepts. And this is what we're doing. We're talking about a very real ascension. So, in this chapter, The New Horizon, Joel says, above this sense life, or this life of concepts, there is a universe of spirit. You see? God is a spirit, and it is the creative principle of your being. And if God is your parent and your only parent, and God is a spirit, then you are not a person. You are spirit. And above this sense life, above these concepts, there's a universe of spirit, and it's governed by love, and it's peopled with children of God in the temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. You can stand right here, as Joel said, and look out and look through and see this world of spirit, this realm of spirit. You can stand in it. You can walk in it. You can see others who are in it, and you can commune with them. Its substance is consciousness, and the first glimpse of reality of the soul realm comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporary conditions, or all material conditions, or all material processes are products of self-hypnotism. When you have the realization that the entire human scene, good and bad, is illusion, you will get the first glimpse and taste of this new world of God's creation, and of the sons of God who inhabit this spiritual creation. Now, The experience at first, he says, is like watching this world of concepts disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There's no attachment to that world of concepts, no desire to hold on to it, probably because, to a great extent, this experience does not come until a great measure of your desire for this world has been overcome. And at first we cannot speak of it. There's a sense of touch me not, for I am not yet ascended. All right? And so, to continue with this, the end of this chapter, he says, life is not subject to material conditions or to mental beliefs. It is subject only to itself, which is God. So life is subject only to itself, which is God. God is life. And in that life, which is God, there are no years. I have only the life of God now to behold. You see, there's now he's taking away years. You know, all those years where you had all those experiences with those concepts you called mother and father, instead of seeing through to the spiritually real dimension, instead of communing with the with God manifest as, which is standing right before you, but you're not seeing it, all those years. Well, he's taking those too. He says, there are no years in life, which is God. So now you have it. What Johnny did at 10 and or at 2 and then again at 6 and at 10 and at 17 and at 20 and at 30. That was a series of universal beliefs. And they must be let go if we would see reality. Now, I don't think you can let go of this entire thing in one fell swoop. And I don't believe Joel's recommending that. He is, however, recommending that you ponder this deeply in your heart, like Mary did. Deeply, not just mentally. Oh, well, I got 5 minutes. Wasn't that talk interesting today? Well, I wonder what's on TV. No. Ponder it deeply in an inner meditation, in an inner contemplation, call it what you will, until this something called God reveals itself. Until you catch the first glimpse of reality, the realm of spirit, and the children who inhabit that realm. And then you will see, ah, all this time I had eyes but could not see. Then, if you see God manifest as that being, that spiritual being standing in front of you, there is no way you can do anything but love that being. As love flows out from you to that being and from that being to you in a circle of oneness. But it won't be your mother, your father. It will be spiritual being individualized, and that's quite different. And if you haven't seen it, you're in for quite a discovery, quite a fantastic discovery. So he says, I have only the life of God to behold. And really, there you go. That's your task. If everywhere you go and everyone you look at, you behold God, well, then you need to be teaching. Do not fear this human sense of life or the loss of it. The human sense of life is not your life, not your real life. Your real life is the life you are living in your soul. That life governs your body. That life is a law. That consciousness controls your body. Ah, but I wrote in the margin, only when you are conscious of it. If you're not conscious of that soul, if you're not consciously living in the soul realm, if you're not consciously aware of God manifest, then it's the same old series of concepts in your brain that's controlling the body. And the only body you have and can see is one that's made up of material processes, which we started by saying there are none in the spiritual realm. So it's vital. It's not enough to say, wow, okay, God is my body. Yes, God is the law unto my body. And repeat that till you're blue in the face. And then come down with the latest strep throat. No. It's not enough. Those are vain repetitions. Those are clouds without rain. You must have the conscious awareness. You must ponder these things deep in your heart until the awareness springs up within you and reveals to you what your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. And then you will know. Says Joel, God is forever expressing as individual you and me, and that expression continues on into eternity. Each one of us can discover this for ourselves by inner mystical experience. And you can find corroboration in the convincing accounts of the mystics of all ages. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right? You must have that inner mystical experience. You must have the ascension. And you must have it right here while walking in so-called Earth. You must transition, standing right here out of a series of universal beliefs into the conscious awareness of the living kingdom. So Joel says, I did not begin with birth. I will not end with death, for I am with you since before Abraham. When you come to the place where in your meditation you disappear, and there's nothing there but I, then you will know that before Abraham was, I am. And even after the end of the world, I am. Once you have located God as the eye of your being, your permanent identity, you have nothing to fear. As long as you consciously know that I am with you. You see, you must be conscious of the I. You can't just be repeating that statement. You must have the spirit. In the spiritual kingdom, Joel says, there is no future. Remember that statement. Okay? In the spiritual kingdom, there is no future. Well, that's something, again, to take within and ponder. This whole chapter was written for someone just like Mary, who took these things in her heart and pondered them. This is what you must do with this chapter. Spiritual unfoldment. Not birth or death. Not human birth or death. In the spiritual kingdom, there is no future. Remember that one statement, or ponder that one statement. If there's no future, what are you hoping for? Are you hoping to make the ascension tomorrow? Someday when you learn enough? When you've read enough books, when you've heard enough tapes, someday when you reincarnate and you're young again, No. Those are concepts again. Now is the accepted time. Now go into your heart and ponder these things until you've had the experience. And if you don't have the experience now, come back to it again in a little while. Come back to it again. Come back to it again. And every time you come back to it, and every time you rest in this moment, in this now, you'll see it's still now. And when you have the experience, you'll have the experience in the eternal now. A man I knew once and loved greatly was very spiritual, he pointed me in the right direction early in my life. He said, "You know, eventually in your meditation, you'll discover that there's no such thing as time. And," he said, "then you'll have all the time in the world to complete this journey, to complete this transition in your awareness, because there is no time." So ponder it. In the spiritual kingdom, there is no future. There is no such thing as time, he says. There is only an eternal now, and in that eternal now, I am. Not in that eternal now, you are, and you're coming to I. Not in the eternal now, you are, and you're hoping to realize I. No. In the eternal now, you aren't, I am. So, says Joel, you are only alive and well so that God's glory can be manifest. That is the only reason you exist, that God's grace may be made visible. And now he's taking away every motivation you ever had to accomplish something here on earth. You shouldn't have any ambitions. You should be a beholder, standing still and watching God glorify itself, that the grace of God may be made visible. And so you need to stand still. But again, it's not sitting in a cave somewhere contemplating your navel. You stand still, but you're in action, in an internal action. And so, yes, you stand still, but you stand still as you're walking around. You stand still as you move in and out of the world. You stand still as you take care of your responsibilities. You stand still as you're driving a car. You stand still as you're walking. You even stand still. You learn to stand still as you are talking and as you are listening to others talk. You learn to stand still and behold God's grace made manifest. You see God manifest as right where you are. Because the two are one, and I am that one. Anyone who fears has no God, he says. The minute you have a God, you cannot have fear. Why? Because if you're standing as a witness, beholding God manifest as being, then there's nothing else there. Says Joel, passing from this scene is not death. And it's not. If you pass from this scene before you leave this scene, you've already left the scene, even though people are seeing you. You're not standing in this sea of concepts. You're standing in this spiritual realm. You have already left it. Behold, I have overcome the world. Which simply means you've ascended out of concepts and you're bearing witness. You're watching, you're beholding God manifest as. You're beholding grace, divine, invisible grace appear. So, at the end would come a transitional experience of walking right out into our next phase of existence, which is but a continuation of our work on this plane. Yes. You think God stops manifesting and grace stops flowing because you step out of this plane and into the next? No. That grace is with you. It is you. and it continues manifesting only even better. And listen to this. I love this. Again, what I said up there about walking right out into the next phase, that's if you are conscious of it. Okay? You take your consciousness with you. You take what you're conscious of with you. So, I love this next part. He says, "This I know, not from assumption, but from experience. Those who are on the spiritual path, regardless of how little progress they seem to have made, are instantly, by the very act of passing, lifted into a higher atmosphere than they experienced here on earth. If they are on the spiritual path, the very act of passing is a release from a great deal of material sense of existence." Now, those who are on this path does not mean those who have a mental understanding of these principles. No, no, no. It means those who have, however little, the conscious awareness of reality, of the spiritual realm. They're able to see through these concepts, mom, dad, son, daughter, self, see through them, and they are having glimpses of the spiritual realm, the spiritual reality, spiritual being, God manifest, grace manifest. Those, when they pass, are rocketed forward on the path. They're lifted up into a higher atmosphere than they experience here. So, he says, they instantly enter a higher consciousness. So if you are one of those who are having glimpses, congratulations, I'll meet you there. Finally, he says, the ultimate is that everyone eventually attains complete Christ realization. That means the realization that you are the I. The I is you. You are grace manifesting. Now he says, how many times we shall have to return to the human sense of existence for another opportunity to learn this is perhaps, well, perhaps knoweth no man. But one thing is certain. He says, the spiritual life will not enhance your material sense of good. Rather, it opens up a world of spiritual good. You see the difference? That is why people who believe that they can increase their physical health or material wealth through spiritual means have many lessons awaiting them. The goal of the spiritual life is to awaken in His image and likeness and to realize your spiritual identity as Christ, the Son of God. Or, as I wrote here, to become consciously aware of the indwelling I, the Son of only God. See, you're not the son of a mother or a father on earth. You're the Son of only God. And I think, I was thinking today as that came to me, you know, we're all familiar with the only Son of God. Maybe they changed that when they transcribed it. Maybe it came to the other one also as the Son of only God. Because that's what you are. There is not just one Son of God. Everything made manifest from the beginning is God manifest, or the sons of God. But it does you no good unless you're consciously aware of it. The whole secret is conscious awareness. Conscious awareness. Consciously aware of the spiritual realm. You see that? Feel that. Know that. Ponder that in your heart. So let us pause for a moment. That brings us to the completion of that chapter. And really, the name of the chapter, the title of the chapter, tells us the whole thing without even reading it. Spiritual unfoldment, not human birth or death. In that chapter, if you really get it, a lot of this world will fall away. It has to. Otherwise, you didn't get it. You only understood it through your mind. But if you get it through awareness, a lot of this world's going to fall away. But the good news is, you're going to have glimpses. You're going to ascend, begin the ascension out of the concept realm into the awareness realm, into the kingdom of heaven here and now. I hope to hear from many of you that you know exactly what happens when you come into this awareness and how now to meet every sense of limitation, whether appearing to you or someone bringing it to you. And if I had my way, I would just say one prayer and draw it over all of you like a blanket and have you awaken to the spiritual underlying reality, your true being, God manifest as. But I have no such power. Each of you, every one of you, has to go within and ponder these things in your heart. Know that I love you, I'm rooting for you, and you can do it. I know you can.